Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of AHA Presents About Education. I'm Neil Kreisel and I'm your host every week right here on AM 1290, repeated at 10, and on Saturdays at 4. We're brought to you by Deckers, makers of Uggs and Hokas, Pierre LaFond, Wendy Foster, offering fine clothes, good food, and vintage wines, Montecito Bank and Trust, proudly serving our communities and their financial needs for over 40 years, Habitat for Humanity, building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter, and CSU Channel Islands. No matter which of their academic programs you choose, you will be at the center of your educational experience. And all of our sponsors and all of our community has been suffering over the last month because of these natural catastrophes, but none as bad as some of the retail operations because there's just, A, no water, no customers. And one of our sponsors, Pierre LaFond restaurant and delicatessen, is just now opening. So I think it's a good idea, not just because the food is good, but because it would be a way of supporting people who have really been hurt in our community. So pay a visit to Pierre LaFond. And by the way, while you're there, go buy an outfit at Wendy Foster. We have some really great guests today. We have Robin Gauza, who is the president and CEO of Moxie, and Ron Skinner, who's director of education at Moxie. Thank you for being here.
Oh, well, thank you for having us.
So Moxie is one of the great assets of Santa Barbara, which is interesting because it's only a year old.
That's true. Yeah, we opened last February 25th.
I can't tell you how many people say, wow, if you're going to be here with your kids or your grandchildren, you have to see Moxie as if it's been here for 50 years. So how did Moxie, was it conceived?
Well, it's actually a decades-old story, really.
You don't look that old.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. That's why we're on radio, right?
Right.
Originally, there was a group of very, strong community advocates who wanted to have a children's museum in Santa Barbara. And there were several different iterations of that idea, different locations around town where they wanted it to be, where it couldn't be. Sometime around, 2008, there was really this idea that Santa Barbara needed not just a children's museum, but needed a museum to focus on science, technology, engineering, arts, and math. And that's really when the true dream of Moxie came alive. So then after that, it was, really launching into a deep capital campaign that had that had some very robust goals around it, so that really getting the message out about the importance of science and STEM learning, and really, a very successful capital campaign too, getting $27 million to finally open Moxie in February of 2017.
And you say very casually you wanted to have a museum that dealt with the sciences, and yet looking at my history, and I'm a little bit older than you, I think of a museum as either a dinosaur or an old painting.
Right.
So to think about using it as an educational tool, isn't it something that's, this is a softball question, cutting edge?
It is very cutting edge. I mean, the entire museum is very interactive. Going to Moxie is not a passive experience. We want you to come in and not just learn something by reading, the text panel or the facts and trivia about the dinosaur bones, but we want you to build and tinker and create and think for yourself. And then you walk out of there with a whole new set of knowledge and skills, not only about your own growth as a lifelong learner, but now you've learned something very fascinating about STEAM as well.
Yeah, I'm glad you said lifelong learner, because the pronoun you use, you, does not just refer to kids. People go there without children.
Oh, absolutely.
Which is interesting, because usually if you go to a playground and you don't have a kid, the police throw you out.
Right.
Moxie's definitely a place for all ages.
So how much, Ron, of the ideas and of the exhibits did you guys steal from somebody else? or are these all your
creation? It's
the
best form of flattery.
Well, the exhibits were developed over about a six-year period by a group of people in this community from a whole wide range of backgrounds. And they were working with a firm up in Alameda called Gyroscope, which is an internationally renowned exhibit developer. And they created a whole variety of exhibits. Some of them are unique to Moxie. Some of them are found in other museums. Some of them are sort of our version of other existing exhibits. But the common thing between the exhibits is they're all very open-ended. There are multiple entry points. So irrespective of your age, your background, your ability level, there's a way to enter into these, and there's a variety of different outcomes that you might get educationally out of them.
When I opened my children's first computer, an Apple, years ago when they were in grade school, I started fumbling with it, and finally the older one grabbed it and said, "Dad, we'll show you how to do it." Mm-hmm. So I went to Moxie last month with my grandchildren, and I'm looking at the instructions about how to play something, and they're already playing.
Right.
So it's so interesting about how kids can just pick up on stuff that's intuitive to them.
And one of the things you might have noticed is there's very little signage and very little instruction at Moxie. The whole point is we want you to get in there and engage and start making observations and asking questions and figuring things out for yourself. And if your grandchildren have to model that for you, all the better.
And some of them can't read, so it's a good thing there's nothing written.
Exactly.
They're better off playing it by feel. Mm-hmm. So I mentioned earlier about the catastrophes that have befell Santa Barbara. Was there any impact? I know nothing happened physically, but mm-hmm. did you lose business? Did you have people having trouble get to work?
Yes, all of the above. You're right. Our building itself was fortunate in that it was unharmed from the fires and the floods. But we definitely had about 5 staff members at least who weren't able to come to work for several days. And then we actually did have to close the museum in December. We closed for air quality issues. Mm-hmm. And so there were definitely some days that we, were closed to the public that we had anticipated and projected that we would be open. So that was a little bit of a hit. But then we were really fortunate that in January, after the mudslides hit in Montecito, that because our building was open for business, that we were actually able to welcome in some of the students from Montecito who otherwise weren't able to go to school because their schools were inaccessible. They were evacuated from their homes. So they were able to come and actually have a semi-normal school day at the museum itself.
So you actually gave them places to sit and they could work independently of the museum activities. They could actually be taught.
I know that Montecito Union used our program room for that purpose, and they were kind of, using it as some breakout space. But otherwise, coming to Moxie is a very active experience, so not a lot of sitting anyway. Mm-hmm. But we had, students from Montecito Union, from Our Lady of Mount Carmel, and also from Crane Country Day School.
I was on the roof with my 2 grandchildren, and I had a picture of me with the mountains in the background, and I posted it on Facebook, and someone said, "Wow, you've got a great view from your house." So I didn't correct them. So
right.
Now I live on the roof of Moxie.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice view. So this site is a great site. Now, that was not easy, I suppose, to A, get, and then get all the permissions and permits.
That was a stroke of luck, although not only luck, quite a bit of hard work. But we are fortunate that we have a 50-year lease with the city. And so we're able to have that space that's adjacent to the railroad station, which is great, since our building is also LEED Gold certified. Having that accessibility to mass transit like that is really helpful for us to achieve that LEED certification and, have some environmentally sustainable practices.
And the parking. I mean, the fact that you're next to the train station provides parking, which is one of the real challenges in Santa
mm-hmm,
Barbara.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about some of the programs. There, besides the exhibits, which we'll talk about, you have some educational programs in addition, don't you, Ron?
We do. We have a variety of programs besides the experience that people get when they come into the museum on the exhibit floor. We do field trips and field trip programs for school groups. We do after-school classes and camps, spring, summer, and Thanksgiving camps. We do evening programs with adults. We do our adult after-party series. We'll also be doing a Twilight Hours for adults only starting this next month.
Mm-hmm.
and we have a wide range of programs.
When you say camps, does that mean it's on the premises or you go someplace?
No, the camps are at Moxie.
So, and this is for members only, or anyone can pay or go, or how do these extracurricular activities?
All of our extracurricular program activities are open to the general public. We do give discounts to our members on programs, and occasionally we will have special programming for members only. We do early morning member hours and things like that.
Now, you charge a fee, which is fair. What do you do about people who can't afford the fee? Is there a scholarship program? Is there a discount for people who don't have the resources?
We do. We have a fund that we give free admission out of. We service a whole large variety of schools that have under-resourced students and are under-resourced schools. We service a variety of groups that have accessibility needs. And then we service people through our programs by working with partner groups like United Boys and Girls Club, United Way, Girls Inc., programs like that.
And your mission statement includes what we were just talking about before about science and creativity. But if the child is not interested or talented in science, it also is fun. It's not just to learn; it's also to have fun in an interactive way.
Absolutely. I mean, science is, science and STEAM, it's so much more than just learning Newton's laws of motion. Like, it really is a state of mind and thinking about how interesting it is to look around the world and to learn how it works. So whether you go on to become a career scientist or not, we're just really hoping that everybody walks away with a deep appreciation for how science interacts with the world around us.
On my Money Talk show last Monday, I brought an article in about how somebody, I guess with too much time on their hands, did a research study on Newton's investment capability, and in the one of the big speculative periods, he bought stock, and it rose dramatically, and he sold, and then it kept going up, and he panicked and went back in and lost everything. Mm. And the article ends with that he was able to come up with gravity, but not gravity with the stocks. So this is so much for Newton. You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
Available only at the company's headquarters in Goleta, the new Deckers brand showcase features the latest footwear from UGG, Teva, Sanuk, Hoka, and Ahnu brands. You're invited to stop by to experience firsthand what makes Deckers brand so unique. Discover new product and try on a range of offerings from your favorite Deckers brand at their retail stores. Now open to the public 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday and from 11 to 5 on Sunday at 250 Coromar Drive in Goleta.
Celebrating 50 years of serving loyal regular guests and first-time visitors, the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli invites you to enjoy their huge selection of fresh-baked sweets, cookies, carrot cake, muffins, and the famous farm cake, granola, Oreo popcorn, wine cake, homemade soups, and the popular fresh juice bar. Or get a coffee drink or fresh-squeezed juice and peruse the famous wall of greeting cards at the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli. Open 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226.
The Central Coast may seem laid back, but when it's time to work, no one works harder, including the bank that's grown up here. Montecito Bank and Trust offers customized lending and banking for all businesses, big and small. It's harder than offering one-size-fits-all solutions, but it's the right thing to do. And here, getting things right is a way of life. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, using innovative social-emotional learning and character building to help teens. I'm Neil Kreisel, and today we're with Robin Goza, who's president and CEO of Moxie, and Ron Skinner, who's director of education at Moxie. So we've been talking about the history of Moxie, all 1 year of it, or 30 years if you consider the planning part of it. But let's step back a minute and talk about how you guys ended up here.
Okay.
So how did you end up here? And with the education, and what inspired you to want to be involved
right.
in?
Well, the short story is that I have been a science educator my entire life. I grew up fortunate to have a father who worked for NASA in the 1970s, and so he was really my first science teacher. And he was the one who helped me to realize that that's something that I really loved. But I knew that I didn't want to be in academia. And so pretty quickly, you know, after I graduated from college, I was working at the Austin Nature and Science Center. And that's where I really knew that I had fallen in love with teaching informal science. So outside of the classroom, you know, sort of away from some of the standards and the assessments that are required for a formal classroom setting, and really in a much more natural place for kids to explore and learn and make mistakes and learn new things about the world around them. So after working at the Austin Nature and Science Center, I actually then went to the California Science Center in Los Angeles, and I was there for a number of years running the educational programs there. And most recently, I went back to Austin, and I was working at the Thinkery, which is similar to Moxie in a lot of ways. It's a children's science museum. And when the opportunity to take the helm as CEO in Santa Barbara came around, I said, I want to get back to California. I want to do this. So here I am.
So you're working at the Thinkery. I guess I always thought that people who are good at English aren't good at science and vice versa. The syntax isn't very good. Thinkery.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
Ron, you are a science professional also. This didn't come accidentally coming to the museum.
Yeah, I've had kind of a long windy road getting to Moxie, but I finally made it here. I started off in computer science and then got interested in engineering, got an undergraduate degree in engineering from Cornell, where I had my first taste of teaching, and then worked in the field doing marine research for about 3 years. Went back to graduate school in physics at UC Irvine and did more teaching there. And then I worked at the National Labs, Lawrence Livermore Lab, for a brief stint. And then took a huge left turn and became an organic farmer for 15 years. And I ran my own organic farm and raised a family in San Luis Obispo County. And along the way, really delved deep into informal education. We started doing composting programs in school gardens for local schools. And then as my kids entered the school system and I started thinking more about what their science education was going to look like, I got involved as the local science teacher in our local school in the Lucia Mar School District and kind of followed them K through sixth grade in elementary school doing science education. At the same time on our farm, we were running informal science or informal education programs through school field trips and doing community outreach. And so then about the time that we decided to close down our farming operation, I enrolled in a teaching credential program at Cal Poly with the idea that I would do high school teaching. I'd been a substitute teacher for a while there. And then I got hired on at City College to teach physics and astronomy. And so that instigated my move down to Santa Barbara about 5 years ago. Then I started working with the Museum of Natural History doing programming for them, educational programming. And then when the opportunity at Moxie came up, I jumped at it because it was just sort of the culmination of everything that I had done, the physical science and physics that's deeply ingrained in our exhibits, yet the informal science aspect, which is what I really love and have a passion for.
I have so much respect for teachers now. When I moved out here and I had retired, I had a career on Wall Street, and I decided to become a teacher, and I taught at City College for 12 years. And the first semester was a total disaster because in order to teach, you really have to know the subject much, much better than just knowing the subject. You know, it's like someone says to you, what does this word mean? And you can't give a definition, but you've used it a million times and you've used it correctly. So there's a difference between kind of knowing how it works, but really understanding it. And I had a wake-up call that in order to teach, you really need to understand every bit of nuance in order to be able to explain it in a way that people can understand. So
that brings up a great point. One of the things at Moxie, we are not focused on teaching science content. We are much more focused on teaching the practices of scientists. Things that, you know, toddlers, for instance, are phenomenal question askers. Why, why, why? But as soon as we go to school, we become question answerers instead of question askers. And so at Moxie, what we're trying to do is create the next generation of question askers. And so what we're tasked with now is, how do we teach people how to ask questions? And of course, our exhibits are built and designed to help that process. But we're currently in the we've started a program training our floor staff to help facilitate this process and help facilitate the asking of questions, the testing of ideas, the designing of solutions to problems. And it's those type of processes and practices that are so important at Moxie. And it's interesting because when you say, you know, in order to teach a subject, you have to be an expert in it. Well, we all have asked questions. We've tested ideas. And so now we're working on trying to, you know, improve those skill levels.
So you talk about your employees. And are these kids, they're young for the most part, are given opportunities to learn as they teach, because otherwise, in other words, it's not an alternative to working at Burger King. I mean, these are college kids, I would imagine. That
not all of them.
Not all?
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, so actually our floor staff runs the gamut from people who are currently in college at City College or UC Santa Barbara, all the way up to retired teachers who have 35 years experience. We even have one of our floor staff had a 15-year career as a neuroscientist. So we have a very wide range of people who are interested in being floor staff. We have an apprentice program right now, which is a year-long program that runs them through. It's in collaboration with UC Santa Barbara, and it runs them through a year of experience on the floor at Moxie, but at the same time, 4 quarters of coursework at UC Santa Barbara that teaches them the techniques needed to be an informal science educator.
And they also give you feedback on the exhibits? Do they come back and you have a meeting and they say, you know, exhibit number 22 is really not working the way we want it to work? I mean, do they provide you with a sense of what you need to do to make it, to twink it?
Yeah, I mean, I think between the floor staff and, I mean, even Ron and our, you know, director of exhibits, everybody is... Everybody, even in the offices at Moxie, spends a lot of time out on the floor. I mean, we're all engaging with guests at, you know, in different times and in different ways, and we're getting visitor feedback too on the exhibits. And so I think it's safe to say that we're always aware of kind of if there's something that needs a little tweak here or a little tweak there, and, you know, maybe we're not addressing it right at that moment, but it sort of is on our list of something to go back and fix. And we've made some great refinements and improvements based on some of that feedback.
Yeah, and it's not just tweaking exhibits. A lot of it is just learning how to play with exhibits. Mm-hmm. We have an exhibit that we've been playing with intensely for a year, and the other day one of the floor staff came up with a whole new way of approaching it and a whole new way of engaging our audience with it, which, you know, we are the Museum of Innovation, so we have this sort of imperative to constantly be reinventing ourselves and sort of evolving. And our exhibits were really designed to do that, and our floor staff helps that evolution along.
You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on the Santa Barbara News Press radio station, and we'll be right back.
Founded by a UCSB grad, Deckers Brands has grown into a global driver of lifestyle footwear. From humble beginnings in 1973, Santa Barbara has been a key element of the business, defining the company's culture, providing home base for many employees, and inspiring product innovation each year. For a first-hand experience, stop by the Deckers Brands headquarters in Goleta, 250 Coromar Drive, from 10 to 7, Monday through Saturday, 11 to 5 Sunday, and shop their new brand showcase retail test lab. Guaranteed, you'll see a new side to Deckers' portfolio, from footwear to handbags to home furnishings.
You're invited to dine indoors or on the secluded garden patio, the sunny patio, or the covered creekside patio with fireplace at Pierre Lafond's Montecito Wine Bistro, where you'll enjoy the popular pizzas and many other dishes from the wood-burning oven, daily specials from Chef Victor, and selections from the elevated wine menu featuring Lafond and Santa Barbara Winery wines. Open daily at 11 for lunch, wine, cocktails, dinner, incredible desserts, and a daily happy hour from 3 to 6 with very unique appetizers, in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226.
What's that?
This?
the newest online business banking around.
Can you initiate wires and approve transfers?
Yes.
Pay bills?
Check.
Cash management?
Of course.
All business, all online, all on your phone.
You bet. My computer, too. It's Montecito Bank and Trust's new business online banking. It works as hard as I do.
Huh. Montecito Bank and Trust.
You got it. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, improving attitude, creating social harmony, bridging the achievement gap for teens. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with Robin Goza, who's president and CEO of Moxie, and Ron Skinner, who's director of education at Moxie. So you mentioned before Gyroscope Inc. What is Gyroscope Inc.?
Gyroscope is an exhibit design firm. They have been working in museums for about 30 years, maybe. And they do a lot of the sort of initial design and ideation around the kinds of exhibits that a new museum or a museum that wants to add something new to their space. They sort of help that design thinking process around that, and we'll come back to the table with some, you know, drawings and ideas and things like that.
So was it their idea to put a giant guitar on the first floor?
You know, I don't know who gets to take credit for the giant guitar. You know, that's part of a whole area that we call the soundtrack. And so I think it just makes a lot of sense to have something that is, you know, big and iconic and eye-catching like a giant guitar. So I don't know who gets to claim that, but it's definitely fun, and it's one of the most photographed spots that we have in the museum.
Speaking of popular, what is each one of your favorite?
Favorites. That's tough.
And after that, tell me who your favorite child is.
Right.
my favorite exhibit is the Roll It Wall. And it's a wall with pegs and a flexible rubber track and balls. And you can make ball roller coasters. And the things that you can do with that are just mind-boggling. Mm-hmm. And it's one of our longest stay times for exhibits. We've had people, I think the record were, there were two teens over spring break last year who came with their poor grandfather, and they spent 5 hours on that exhibit. They made a track with 39 loops in it. They came back the next day and spent an additional 4 hours and made another track that only had 27 loops in it, but worked its way back and forth across the whole wall. And it was just mind-boggling. People will regularly spend 45 minutes there. I think the average stay time is probably 15 to 20 minutes, which, you know, for most museum exhibits, stay time is measured in sub-minute increments, in seconds. And it's a really amazing place where you get to design and build and test things creatively.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have a very low attention span for museums. I remember the first time I went to the Louvre, my wife said, "Oh, there's the Mona Lisa. One, two, three. Okay. Let's go." 3 seconds. Yeah. One, two, three. So what's your favorite?
I think that my favorite is something in our Fantastic Forces courtyard. It's the Hyperloop. So it's a series of pneumatic tubes, and you put in a fuzzy ball, and it shoots through the tubes like those old bank teller canisters. And I like it because it's fun and it's fast. And also the way that it's designed, the fluffy balls will come and shoot from overhead. And it can be surprising because you can also you can adjust some of the different flaps and doors within the tube so that you can change the path of the ball. And my 4-year-old loves to stand under those and get bonked in the head by the fuzzy balls that are shooting out. Or better yet, he will position his little sister so that they come and they just shower her. And, you know, she laughs through it all because that's what you do when you're the younger sister, right?
So tell us about the Innovation Workshop.
The Innovation Workshop is kind of front and center when you come in the museum. It is a space for making and designing and building things. And we have ongoing activities there on a daily basis. We'll have a month-long theme, and then we'll have weekly activities for that theme. For instance, in February, our theme is puppet making in anticipation of Puppet Palooza, which will be here the first weekend in March. And so each week we have a different making activity, and already, we're making shadow puppets. And so you can come into the space and you can design and build shadow puppets, use them in our shadow puppet theater, which is in the shape of Moxie, We've had other recent activities in there. We were doing cardboard engineering, building a cardboard city with a big collaborative project where everybody that came in got a lot size and then built a building on that lot and then contributed to this collaborative cardboard city. I think we had over 470 structures built by people throughout the just over a week that it was up.
Mm-hmm. I saw John Palmateri promoting this last week, and there was a puppet that they created that looked like him. It really looked like him.
It was pretty impressive.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was
that
pretty
is,
awesome.
Yeah.
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 But yeah, the Makerspace, the Innovation Workshop, you know, we also have, you know, kind of there's low-tech technologies and then there's higher-tech ones too. You know, we also have 3D printers and laser cutters and all different kinds of things that that the kids will have access to sort of as they need to. It's not just coming in to use the 3D printer for the sake of using that, but it's kind of in service to, you know, learning new skills and making something of the learner's own creation.
So you're not you don't object to someone who's come once a month for a whole year and had the most wonderful time, this five-year-old, and learned nothing. That's okay, isn't it? Or do you want them to have some sort of development?
I think it's inconceivable that anybody could spend time in Moxie and not come away having gained something out of it.
But actually, Neil,
well
to,
said.
but to answer that too, you know, yes, we are an interactive STEAM museum. But really, if you want to talk about some of the learning objectives, it's not so much those science content things like Ron mentioned earlier. It's more about the 21st century skills, some of which are not as easy to quantify. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, it's communication, it's collaboration, it's creativity, it's critical thinking. And so those things happen. We think that they happen best in kind of the science environment, but it doesn't always have to happen in that kind of an environment. So you might have a five-year-old who comes once a month for an entire year, and they walk away with, you know, better critical thinking skills. Hopefully they do apply that to science learning, but they might apply that to other areas of their life too.
One of the things that AHA stresses in their programs is, and they believe it is as or more important than academics, is emotional intelligence. Mm. Because if someone grows up without emotional intelligence, the chances of success are much less than if they're someone that's a real person.
Absolutely.
Are there any of these exhibits designed to focus on that part of development?
Well, I think that we look at emotional intelligence probably best through the lens of design thinking, so that it's really about, you know, kind of going through the process of iteration and getting feedback and kind of embracing failure and seeing it as an opportunity to improve and refine, not as a moment of, you know, dejection and just, oh, you know, I've totally messed this up. And so I think that that builds a lot of the resiliency that then adds to emotional intelligence so that, you know, kids become better at receiving critical and constructive feedback about something because they've gone through that kind of design process to build and improve on something that they've made.
And they develop their ability to persevere, mm-hmm. like the kids that spent, 9 hours on the roll-it wall.
Right.
So when I tried to get the cars to go up and then down and they kept falling off and I took the car and threw it against the wall and
you
went out with a huff.
You were not exhibiting emotional
that
intelligence.
That was not emotional intelligence.
No.
I should have asked for help, right?
Exactly.
What I find amazing about kids is how they are able to understand things that both they and I are seeing for the first time, and they have an adaptation ability so much more acute than someone my age, where I'm sitting there still scratching my head looking for the instructions, mm-hmm. and they're already playing. Even if they're playing incorrectly, whatever that means.
Right.
I'm not sure what incorrectly means in these days. If it works, it works.
Right. Right. And that's the thing. You know, Ron had mentioned earlier that everything that we have at the museum in our programs and our exhibits, it's meant to be very open-ended. So there is no correct way to do these things. You know, you may have a particular goal that you're trying to achieve, but there are a lot of different ways to get to that goal. And then also, you know, it's, you know, if the goal is to get your car to go down the track, well, maybe just throwing it down the track is one way to do that,
yeah,
too.
That's what I did, and they asked me to leave. You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on the IM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
For more than 20 years now, the unique landscape and people of the Santa Barbara community have helped grow Deckers brands into the lifestyle footwear leaders they are today. Newly opened at their headquarters in Goleta, the Deckers brand showcase allows you to explore and shop the UGG, Teva, Sanuk, Hoka, and Ahnu brands while you're likely to discover something new or potentially receive an in-store special offer. At 250 Coramar Drive in Goleta, the showcase is open to the public 10 a.m. to 7 Monday through Saturday and 11 to 5 on Sunday.
In 1962, Pierre Lafond founded the first post-prohibition commercial winery in Santa Barbara County. In 1972, he planted his first vineyard in the San Ynez Valley west of Buellton and later hired legendary winemaker Bruce McGuire to continue to build on the stellar reputation that Santa Barbara Winery has achieved for more than 50 years. Today, you're invited to experience the award-winning wines at Santa Barbara Winery at the corner of Yananali and Anacapa and the Lafond Winery at 6855 Santa Rosa Road in Buellton.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226.
The Central Coast may seem laid back, but when it's time to work, no one works harder, including the bank that's grown up here. Montecito Bank and Trust offers customized lending and banking for all businesses, big and small. It's harder than offering one-size-fits-all solutions, but it's the right thing to do. And here, getting things right is a way of life. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with Robin Goza, President and CEO of Moxie, and Ron Skinner, Director of Education. So we talk about the inside of the museum, but there's also field trips. Now, field trips are still inside the museum.
Mm-hmm.
So what's a field trip?
So we have schools from all over San Luis Obispo, Santa Barbara, and Ventura counties. We've had schools come as far away from as L.A. County to do field trips at Moxie. They all receive 50% discount on admission. We have, during the month of September, we give scholarships to schools that are under-resourced so that they can come free of admission. And when they come, they're on the floor of Moxie. They're interacting with our exhibits. Our exhibits connect with grade levels from preschool through high school, even to college students. We've had some groups of college students come on field trips. And they interact in the museum. They rotate through floors. They come with chaperones. A lot of times we'll provide activities for them to do at the exhibits. A lot of times the teachers will just have their students interact with the exhibits kind of free form.
What's the business model? How much of your revenues are from admissions versus donations?
We're about 70-30, so about 70% from earned admission and about earned revenue and 30% contributed revenue.
So conceptually, you could be self-sustaining if you had more visitors.
Conceptually, but you know, the thing about being a nonprofit organization is that, of course, we always want to do more, right? And so in order to continue to serve more children and families, and in order to be able to make the programs and to make the museum accessible for everybody so that it's not just for those who can pay, but it's accessible for those who cannot. And so really to do that, that's where we need that contributed revenue to fill that gap.
And what's interesting, if you went like I do with a child, a daughter-in-law, and a bunch of kids, you can join for basically the same price as entry for that day.
That's right. Yeah, I'm fumbling on my words. You can apply the admission that you paid that day to your membership, and the membership is really a very reasonable deal for getting then free admission for an entire year, as well as all kinds of members-only perks, too.
Yeah, the only club I currently belong to now is Costco.
You need to belong to the Moxie Club.
Yeah, not as interactive as Moxie.
So we talked about kids. Now, you also have adults-only nights.
We do.
Is that because Well, why is that? Tell us why. Who goes to it, and what do they do?
Well, we have two different offerings for adults. We have our after party series, which was sold out last year at an incredibly successful rate, and those are 4 times a year. We have basically a big party in the museum. The museum is open. We have typically a live band on the roof, DJ on the lower floors, bars open on every floor.
So it's a fundraiser.
It's a fundraiser.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. What Ron is describing falls more into kind of our programs category. Uh-huh. It's a program that we're providing for the community. It's just that the audience happens to be adults only. We do have a fundraising event that is also held at the museum, and that's our big gala that we call Moxie at Night. And that kind of takes a lot of the things that Ron was describing, but then escalates it to kind of gala level.
A piece of advice, you know, again, free advice is worth what you pay for it. But if you had an event where you could leave your kids there and then go mm-hmm. out to dinner in the Funk Zone, mm-hmm. that would be I would like to join that fundraiser. You know, let me leave and you take care of my kids.
Well, it's not, you know, it's not unheard of. That is a program model that other museums use, and, you know, as we mentioned at the top of the hour, that we only have been open for a year, so we're always, you know, kind of iterating and ideating on new kinds of program offerings that we could have.
So, how's traffic, as they say in the business?
Traffic is good. We saw over 175,000 visitors in our first year.
Wow,
which is pretty incredible and pretty impressive. About close to 10,000 of those were elementary school students. And so it's just been, we've had an amazing response from the community. Everybody's been very excited and very thrilled to walk through our doors.
And from the community standpoint, you can be a paid worker, but you can also volunteer.
Oh, yes.
And volunteering, you can become like a docent type of a person. What do the volunteers do?
So our floor staff, we have volunteer floor staff, and they work alongside our paid floor staff. To facilitate the experience on the floor, and that can involve helping people with exhibits, running our telepresence robot, working in our interactive media theater. There's a whole slew of things that our volunteers do. They receive training alongside our paid staff, and we've had a total of about 170 people apply to our volunteer program.
And you have you give the ability to have parties, like you can rent it for a birthday party?
Oh, yes. Well, yeah.
Like Chuck E. Cheese?
Well, sort of. We do. Well, we have a birthday party program where you can rent one of the rooms and you know, set up your pizza and snacks and things there and then let the kids explore the museum. But we also rent the facility for special events. So we've had weddings there. We've had corporate holiday parties. You know, all different kinds of things like that. And so, you know, the rooftop has a pretty spectacular view. And so a lot of people like to rent the rooftop to have their, you know, their company parties and things like that.
It's the best rooftop in Santa Barbara.
It is. That's where, same view as my house.
Right.
Right.
So what's, speaking of views, what's Lookout Tower?
Oh.
Our Lookout Tower has 5 different scopes, different lenses to look at the city through. And there's a telescope. There is a kaleidoscope. There are 2 infrared cameras.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a periscope that actually kind of has your eyes pointing in different direction, which gives you certainly a different perspective on the city. And then we have a LIDAR scope that allows you to get speed and distance of moving objects going down Lower State Street.
And you've got some good publicity. You've been written up in some national magazines, international magazines as well.
We have. We've been fortunate to receive some really great press. Thank you, Martha. And so we were in the top 10 of USA Today's, you know, best new attractions for 2017. I know we got written up in Fodor's. There's, you know, yeah, quite a few things. So we've definitely been on people's radar.
And some of your future plans, how about after-school programs?
We have had some of those. Ron, I'll let you talk about that.
Yeah, we've run after-school programs. We don't currently have an after-school program offering, but we will be doing more after-school programs in the future. We'll be eventually developing an outreach program where we go out into schools and go out to other organizations. and just expanding on the offerings that we have now.
And what about camps? The camps that you have are camps that take place at Moxie.
Yes.
And so what's an example of a camp?
And so an example of a camp will be Spring Break Camp, the last week in March when Santa Barbara Unified School District is on its spring break, and we'll be offering our Moxie Institute of Cardboard Engineering.
This is different from college spring breaks where you drink beer and go surfing. This is totally different.
We build things out of cardboard.
I see. Okay.
And it's amazing what you can build out of cardboard. And so we will be opening registration for those on the 14th of February coming up. And then we'll be also, at that same time, having our listings for our summer camps, which is 10 weeks of camp that run the gamut from cardboard engineering to programs in digital creativity, where we have all sorts of sound and video equipment, and we are creative with what we produce with those.
Yeah, and those camps are for kindergarten through sixth grade.
And how affordable are they?
They're pretty comparable to some other camps around town. So, you know, there's a member discount as well as just the full price. But it's, you know, it's a full day program, which can be hard to come by. So, you know, it's definitely in line with what you would find with some other high quality offerings around town.
So am I too old to go?
Are you entering sixth grade in the fall?
No, I guess not.
Okay. So then, yeah, you might be a little bit too old.
Okay. You've been listening to AHA Presents A Bad Education on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back with our final segment.
Founded by a UCSB grad, Deckers Brands has grown into a global driver of lifestyle footwear. From humble beginnings in 1973, Santa Barbara has been a key element of the business, defining the company's culture, providing home base for many employees, and inspiring product innovation each year. For a first-hand experience, stop by the Deckers Brands headquarters in Goleta, 250 Coromar Drive, from 10 to 7, Monday through Saturday, 11 to 5 Sunday, and shop their new brand showcase retail test lab. Guaranteed, you'll see a new side to Deckers' portfolio, from footwear to handbags to home furnishings.
Celebrating 50 years of serving loyal regular guests and first-time visitors, the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli invites you to enjoy their huge selection of fresh-baked sweets, cookies, carrot cake, muffins, and the famous farm cake, granola, Oreo popcorn, wine cake, homemade soups, and the popular fresh juice bar. Or get a coffee drink or fresh-squeezed juice and peruse the famous wall of greeting cards at the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli. Open 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
Habitat for Humanity of Southern Santa Barbara County is building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. Habitat has completed construction on 19 new homes for affordable homeownership. We'll build 3 new affordable homes this spring and has repaired over 35 homes through the A Brush with Kindness program. To learn more about how you can support Habitat by volunteering, donating, or shopping at the Habitat Restore, visit sbhabitat.org or call 692-2226.
What's that?
This? The newest online business banking around.
Can you initiate wires and approve transfers?
Yes.
Pay bills?
Check.
Cash management?
Of course.
All business, all online, all on your phone.
You bet. My computer, too. It's Montecito Bank and Trust's new business online banking. It works as hard as I do.
Huh. Montecito Bank and Trust.
You got it. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Welcome back to AHA Presents A Bad Education. AHA helps teens manage their emotions, support their peers, and serve their community. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with Robin Koza, President and CEO of Moxie, and Ron Skinner, who's Director of Education. I never asked you what Moxie stands for.
Oh, I'm glad that you asked. It stands for the Wolf Museum of Exploration and Innovation.
Well, does that mean that you take the W and put it upside down? Where's the wolf in this?
Well, the wolf is in the full name, and then Moxie is our abbreviation for that.
Okay. And you chose wolf because you like animals, or is it because somebody is a donor?
No, we were very fortunate to have a generous gift from Dick and Noel Wolf.
And you have a very well-known and active board.
Yes.
And is that good? Then they don't listen to the show. It's okay. You can tell me the truth.
No, they're wonderful. I mean, Moxie could not have come to be without the commitment and the passion of all of these community members and board members who have worked for, some of them, for many years serving on the board to make this to make this dream come alive. So, no, they've been incredible and are continuing to be very supportive.
You know, you mentioned before that this has been in people's minds for many years. I remember years ago somebody telling me that they were working on this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I said, good luck with that. and I had no idea when they said a children's museum. Mm-hmm. I thought maybe the children are going to, you know, put the exhibits together. I didn't know what a children's museum was.
Right.
What is the future? When you look out 5 or 10 years, you know, the reality is the museum is fascinating. It's fantastic. And kids get older and new kids come in. But you don't want to be boring. So what are the things that the wish list of things you'd like to do?
Well, you know, I mean, I think we always are looking for ways to maintain our freshness and our innovation. And some of that is through building really strong community partnerships and relationships so that we can bring in new ideas, such as, you know, you mentioned, well, is a children's museum where children make the exhibits? Sometimes it is. We're actually in a partnership with Dos Pueblos Engineering Academy right now, where the high school students are fabricating some new exhibits for us. Excuse me. So, you know, that's an area where we can continue to work with the community and really mine the talent that's here locally. Pardon me.
And also the sky's the limit. I mean, we've got so much enthusiasm and ideation going on at Moxie. It's incredible. We have rotating exhibits through our interactive media space, which I don't know if you've been there enough to see some of the variety of things that we have coming through, but the use of virtual reality, augmented reality, as a teaching tool, as a way to engage people and a way to use senses in a way that we just have never done before is mind-boggling. And I see a lot of that in the future of Moxie and the evolution of our exhibits.
So how do our listeners help besides going there? Is there a way to donate money?
There is absolutely a way to donate money.
And how do you do that?
Well, you can of course come by Moxie and you can come for a visit and you can leave a donation at the desk. You can go online to moxie.org where we have a whole list of different sort of membership levels or donorship levels, or give the museum a call on our main line and be put in touch with our development department. We are fortunate. You know, we love receiving $5, $50, $500. You know, everything helps us to support our mission of, you know, bringing fun and exciting science education to everybody in the community.
And if you do donate, not only do you get the benefit of having supported a wonderful part of Santa Barbara, is you get your name on exhibits. You get to throw a ball at your neighbor's name if you don't like them. One of those, you know, you talk about those rubber balls that, you know, there were people's names there I have a little bit of issues with, you know. I was just, you know, missing the hole in the ceiling and just hitting those people's names.
Right, right.
So it's an interactive way of thanking your donors. And there's a big event you have every year.
There is, yeah. In September, this year it's September 22nd, we're holding Moxie at Night. It's our annual fundraising gala, and it's just a beautiful night on the rooftop under the stars, late summer. There's live band. We've got fantastic auction items, delicious food, fun cocktails. So it's really, it's kind of a can't miss event.
And that's something that you can go to even if you're not a member.
Oh, absolutely.
And
yeah.
That's on your website as well.
It's on our website, and it's kind of, it's a little bit, we get corporate sponsorships for the event, but you can also buy individual tickets too.
Great. Well, thank you, first of all, for being here. Thank you for bringing a tremendous asset to Santa Barbara. It's nice to have a way of differentiating ourselves, not just weather and beaches, but to have something that really is a world-class institution. And you've only been here a year, and people all over are talking about it. So you guys have done a terrific job. Thank you for being a guest. You've been listening to AHA Presents About Education. We'll be right back next week.